You're listening to KC Forum with Kathy Quinn, public affairs with an entertaining spin.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's KC Forum. Kathy Quinn here, normally on Fox 4's morning show, but during the weekend, we do it right here. It's KC Forum, radio show 6:30 to 7 every single Sunday. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you tune in at all, you know we love festivals on this radio show. The Solvine Fest and the Latina Fest coming up. We'll tell you all about it. Comfort Care is going to tell us about special housing they have for folks who have Alzheimer's, who have dementia, and it makes folks feel as if they're at home, and that's number one. That's key. Joining me now is Amy Boydston from CASA, court-appointed special advocates in Johnson County and Wyandotte County, and they serve children, their volunteers do, when they go to court. Now, they need volunteers, and so we're going to be talking to her about getting more volunteers and some events that are coming up, but talk about the number of children you are able to serve with the volunteers you have right now, Amy.
Combined this year, though, we will only be able to serve about 1,700 to 1,800 of those kids. So we certainly could use more volunteers who are interested in advocating for kids in need.
What will happen to the other kids? The ones that fall through, you know?
Well, they certainly, I mean, both of our systems on both sides of state lines, there are caseworkers, there are social workers who are working with kids. One of the things that makes CASA unique, though, is that our volunteers, advocates, stay with the child from the time of their assignment until the time their case closes. Many of these kids, they're going to have a kind of a rotating door of caseworkers, of social workers, of therapists. Many of them will change placements. They may change schools. But with CASA, they will have one consistent adult advocate with them throughout the entire process that really helps to build resilience in kids who have suffered trauma.
And it also helps to build, confidence. It helps to build, trust in people and get, you guys do some fabulous work.
Well, thank you. And you're absolutely right. One of the most important factors in helping kids build resilience and a sense of self-worth, especially kids with a history of trauma, is to have at least one consistent adult presence. And for many, many kids, that's what CASA does.
Wow. Okay, so it's court-appointed special advocates, and we are talking about it gives voice to the powerless, to those kids that, first of all, you and myself as an adult, the two of us, we'd go into court. We don't have no idea what's going on in the court, you know. And can you imagine for a young child to go in there? It's so daunting.
Everything about the court system can be extremely intimidating for adults and much mm-hmm. less for, you know, certainly much more for kids. So a CASA volunteer can help understand what's happening, understand who's making those decisions. And especially with our older kids, our CASA volunteers are often trying to help our older youth, especially those teens, have a voice in their own court cases as mm-hmm. well.
All right, let me ask you then, what is necessary to become a volunteer? Because I know people think, oh, I need special education, I need something, a big certificate, or what is it that they need?
Our volunteers come from all different walks of life. Some are employed, some are retired. Some are empty nesters, some are stay-at-home parents. They come through a variety of professional and personal backgrounds, and they don't really need any special skills. You don't need any special education or background. What's most important is a heart for helping kids. And then once those folks are interested, CASA then will take them through an extensive training program. Of course, they will go through a background check. And then once assigned to a case, every CASA volunteer, every volunteer is matched with a CASA staff person who really is their sounding board, their guide, kind of their shepherd through the process. So they are always given lots and lots of support.
I think what is most interesting for folks out there, if you don't know about CASA, what happens when you've got this volunteer who, and I've met volunteers, I think we did a Pay It Forward with a volunteer once, these children, they are less likely to be re-abused. They are less likely to, let's say, that they've been in trouble. Kind of explain the statistics.
Absolutely. Well, for kids who come into the system with a history of abuse and neglect, unfortunately, sometimes the outcomes are not very strong. What we know about kids who are matched with a CASA volunteer, Number one, as you mentioned, they are much less likely to experience additional abuse. Our CASA volunteers are really keeping an eye out to make sure placements are safe and advocating for the best interests of kids. They're also much more likely to find a safe permanent home, whether that is returning home and being reunified with their family of origin, adoption, permanent guardianship. But I think what's very important to know is that, in simple terms, kids with a CASA do better. They get more services. Their cases resolve sooner. Kids with a CASA do better in the foster care system.
And you've seen this firsthand.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Interestingly, we just celebrated the high school graduation of one of our young people who has been with us for now more than 4 years now. And many kids in the foster care system do not make it to that milestone. They don't experience that academic success. And that's another way that CASA can really help.
That is fabulous. How can people then find out more about CASA on both sides of the state line?
Absolutely. Well, an easy way is to go to our shared website, which is CASAKC.org. And then we have a CASA program here in Johnson and Wyandotte counties in Kansas. And then we have Jackson County CASA. So they can select kind of their side of the state line and learn a little bit more. Both of our agencies have monthly kind of orientation sessions or informational sessions that people can come if they're interested, but they're not sure they really want to commit. They can come to a no obligation overview. We provide them food, and they can ask questions and learn and think about, is this something that I would like to do? Is this a good fit for my interests?
Absolutely. Okay, so what we're talking about then is a big fundraiser coming up, the Hops and Barley Ball in Color. It's coming up the 27th of September to benefit CASA, and this is the CASA on the Kansas side. Now, this is a brand new event, right?
Well, now this event, we've had, this is a little bit of a tradition for us
okay.
here on the Kansas side. We've had the Hops and Barley Ball for a few years. This year the theme is In Color. It's going to be really fun. And as you mentioned, it is Friday the 27th and tickets are still available. It will be in the Westwood area on the Kansas side. And it will have, there will be food, there will be a band, there will be great live auction items, and there will be performances by an LED light performer that's really going to kind of highlight our theme of In Color, as well as some fabulous auction items. And then on the Missouri side, a couple of weeks later, on Friday, October the 11th, Jackson County CASA is hosting their first similar event, Cocktails for CASA, A Night of Hope.
Okay.
And it is going to be similar, another wonderful party environment, heavy hors d'oeuvres provided, and their entertainment is going to be Pop-Up Charlie, an artist who draws on-the-spot watercolor illustrations of whatever people request. Both events will have phone booths, both events will have wine, both will have some really fantastic option items. Between the two programs, we've got some incredible sports memorabilia, we have some vacation packages, we have some, of course, some Royals tickets, we've got some Chief tickets, we've got some concert tickets. So here coming up in the next couple of weeks, we have two great opportunities for folks who want to come enjoy a great party and support a wonderful cause.
Okay, so once again, the events that we talked about will raise funds to train desperately needed new volunteers and to provide them with the ongoing support, because the folks do such wonderful, wonderful work. We are talking about CASA on both sides of the state line. You want to know more, go to those websites. And thank you so much, Amy Boydston. I mean, the work you do with these kids, it's incredible.
Well, thank you very much. And our volunteers are incredible. So thank you for helping us find more.
All right. Thank you. We got more on the way. Stay with us.
Hang on. There's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
T1D looks like my brother.
T1D looks like a friend.
Type 1 diabetes can be living in anyone.
Type 1 diabetes is when your pancreas doesn't produce insulin. It's not caused by your diet. It's not caused by anything you did.
Type 1 diabetes can be very serious.
Blindness, amputation.
Help JDRF find a cure today. Learn more about type 1 diabetes at jdrf.org.
Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday morning. We are going to be talking to Father Peter Jaramillo from Holy Family Church. How are you this fine morning, Father?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Kathy. It's great to hear your voice again.
And it's great to hear you. And, you know, you're so busy. You have how many parishes that you run? You were able to take a few minutes right now to talk about a couple of really cool events.
Well, the three churches that I have, Holy Family, St. Mary, St. Anthony's, and St. John's, I'm kind of the king of Strawberry Hill, if you can put it that way. Well, actually a priest of Strawberry Hill, but these are my parish communities. And I've been here for the last 10 years. That's really hard to believe.
Father, how do you do it? I mean, that's a lot of work.
Well, the grace of God, and I enjoy the people. I have good friends and good staff and good secretaries that keep me organized, and people that are from the parish community that are very supportive and willing to take a lot of that responsibility on their shoulders.
They are wonderful people, because I know we've done some of the festivals with you. We've done live shots, and they get together, those volunteers. They make food. Let's talk about, there are two festivals going on. Let's talk about which is, well, you can't say which is your favorite, because they're all your favorite. You love them. Tell me, let's talk about one right now. How about Slovene Fest?
So Slovene Fest will be occurring this coming month at the 28th of September after a 4 o'clock evening mass, a vigil Saturday evening mass that we celebrate recognizing the Slovene culture. And we have 90-year-olds that we're going to recognize from the parish community, about 7-8 of them from our parish that are in the 90s, and they mark a tremendous history for our community. So we'll recognize them at mass, and then following the mass, we'll give them an award as we come to the activities taking place in the school grounds on Orchard Street, 528 Orchard Street, and that will be immediately following Mass on Saturday evening. Be a number of festivities, music, dance, Horvatsky Obrchai, which is the Croatian community, will perform and have their music, singing and dancing. It's a very beautiful folkloric music dance that will take place on the parish grounds.
But Father, how about the food? The food is incredible.
But plus all the food. So they make their typical foods of cultural background. So part of it is they call it the sadma, which is the stuffed peppers and stuffed cabbage rolls. Their sausages, homemade sausages, and then all the povetica, the potica, as they say, the bread, nut roll, walnut nut roll. And then there'll be several booths on the side. So we also have an Italian booth, sausage and peppers Italian, and then hamburgers, hot dogs, of course. And then we also have a Burmese community that has been recently incorporated into our church, and they will bring their own Burmese food, and they will also join us for our celebration.
Oh, my goodness. It's a multicultural celebration.
It is.
Gosh.
It is. Primarily the Slovenian history, but we want to make sure that our Burmese community, who we have about 100 families that have recently joined in the last 3 years at Holy Family, that we make sure that they're represented and their folks are coming, and they'll be in their probably native dress and costumes as well.
Okay, Father, so what address is the church for folks out there?
So the address is 274 Orchard Street is actually the church grounds, but 258 Ohio is the school ground. So they just cross each other in an adjacent street, but parking will be at the church primarily. So if you come to 274 Orchard Street, then you'll find the parking area around the church grounds, and there's a little park that's in Holy Family Park, so we can park all around Holy Family Park, and then we'll be leading people by directing traffic to come to the actual school grounds, and you'll hear the music and smell the food.
Oh my gosh, I know we did a live shot there once as they were playing their music, and the food just, it was incredible. But this isn't all, Father. You have another event coming up.
So my other event is the Fiesta Latino. This marks our ninth annual Fiesta Latino, which takes place the following day on Sunday, right after our Spanish liturgy, our Spanish Mass. And we have the youth from our parish, from the Hispanic community there, that will be taking forefront of the leadership in the Mass, and also as well as in participating in our Latino Fest, Fiesta Latino.
Mm-hmm.
So we have mariachi music that will start off at the beginning, and then the baile folclorico dancers. And then there's numerous Matachinas group that will be performing, and different singers and individual singers from the from our local community, with numerous kinds of flautas, foods, taquitos, tamales, enchiladas, and you name the Mexican food, we probably have it. It'll be there.
And this is happening at what parish, Father?
So this is at St. Mary's St. Anthony's Church, okay, which is located on 7th Street, right across from City Hall and from the Soldier Memorial Building. It's the big church that's right there on 7th and Armstrong.
Why is it important to celebrate the different cultures?
It's who we are. And Strawberry Hill, we're various cultures. I mean, the Croatian culture is the Slovenian, the Slovakian culture, and the Hispanic culture, and now recently Burmese that have moved into our neighborhood. So it's who we are in the neighborhood. And the beauty of downtown Kansas City is that Kansas is that it's been ethnically immigrational for over 100 years. And so we are just grateful that the immigrant communities are very much alive, and everybody has a beautiful expression of their culture and music and dance, and the church is filled with our folks that are of these backgrounds. And so I, as a pastor, having ministered in the last 10 years in my communities, I say I have three different daughters, three beautiful daughters. Each one has their own particular needs, but I got to make sure I get them all their attention that they need, because they're individual, they're unique, and they're beautiful communities. So I'm enjoying the ministry I've had and having their support and expressing their own inner beauty.
Aww, we're talking to Father Peter Jaramillo. What number should they call if they'd like more information?
So 913-371-1561 for Holy Family Church. And my secretary is Kathy, and she will direct any questions regarding the Slovene Fest. And for St. Mary's St. Anthony's, my number is 913-371-1408. And my secretary is Maria, and she will take care of you and helping you in any direction for Fiesta Latino on September 29th.
Father, have a wonderful, wonderful time, and hopefully maybe we'll see you and do a live shot on one of these. We'll talk about it off the air, okay?
I'd be happy to have you.
All
we
right,
look
Father.
Forward to that. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank
God
you,
bless
honey.
You.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Hang on, there's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
I don't look any different than you, but I have type 1 diabetes.
You can't outgrow type 1 diabetes.
It's not caused by your diet. It's not caused by anything you did.
It's kind of hard to live with it.
It's not easy. I do need to check my sugar a lot, my levels.
If you see someone with an insulin pump or pricking their finger and you want to know more about T1D, just ask them.
T1D looks like me.
T1D looks like me.
Learn more about type 1 diabetes at jdrf.org.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to KC Forum. It's Public Affairs with an entertaining spin. And what we're going to talk about right now is National Assisted Living Week. And we want to kind of talk about what's happening. A lot of baby boomers, a lot of people, you know, taking care of their parents. Well, I have an expert with me, and it's Michelle Girard, and she is the community liaison with Comfort Care. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. I mean, this is the time to really talk about this, and we have a lot of folks listening in right now who possibly, you know, have parents who are looking for places to go. Well, you've got a lot of folks. You've got 5.8 million Americans actually living with Alzheimer's disease. So that complicates matters also, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right. So what do people need to do in the first place? When they find out that an older aunt, a mother, a father have Alzheimer's, what do they need to do?
Well, I would say at first they need to identify what they're going to do as far as care goes. We at Comfort Care have an awesome option of what we call Home Plus. It's an individual home, a real home in a real neighborhood. There are some additional options as well, in assisted living and like a memory care unit. But a lot of folks are choosing to stay at home. So know that there are lots of different options.
Okay, so the Home Plus model. Now, we talked about this a year or so ago. This is a very unique idea. Kind of talk how it works.
Okay. So Home Plus in the state of Kansas, actually, Comfort Care is the pioneer of the Home Plus model in the state of Kansas. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that we are doing care in a home versus a facility or a long-term care community. Most of our homes are licensed for 8 residents. We have, most of them have 6 bedrooms, licensed for 8. So very small individualized care. What that does is allows the one-on-one moments with the residents. The caregiver to resident ratio is 6-to-1. So we have the ability to, you know, spend that extra time and help cue a resident and help not be so task-focused, mm-hmm. and help to take care of them, and so that they are able to maintain their independence as long as they possibly can with our help.
And how important is it? Because you say, you know, you've got the home, you've got what looks like a home. So how important is it for them to be in a setting like a home, in, you know, instead of a hospital or another type of a place? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't agitate them as much, maybe.
Correct. The benefit of a home environment is 100% the environment. It is very much, you know, less stimulating, overstimulating. The other thing is that this model is the what I call the epitome of resident-centered care. And so what that means is, you know, it's all based on the resident. It's not about, you know, we make breakfast at 8 o'clock and everybody has to get up at 8 o'clock mm-hmm. and eat. So if they want to sleep until 10, you know, then they can sleep until 10 o'clock and we'll make their breakfast fresh for them when they get up. The uh-huh. other thing is we do some modified, you know, like a modified med pass. And a liberal med pass. And what that means is, again, if, you know, it's not, meds aren't based on times, they're based on the resident. So if they're based like on rising or lunchtime or bedtime, mm-hmm. so that we're not waking someone up to give them their meds. You know, we know that those are the things that agitate the residents, trying to get them to do something that they don't want to do, or wake them up to do something, you know, when they have a different agenda in mind. So we are truly basing everything on the resident and their wants, their desires, what's going to make them happy, what's going to make them comfortable.
And that's the thing, because they're so stressed out anyway. I have experience with 2 aunts. They're so stressed out anyway, forgetting what they don't remember or whatever. And so you want to keep the stress out of it and let them believe that what's going on is normal, that they aren't forgetting things, that they're not crazy, that type of thing.
Right. We're joining their journey. So basically, we're meeting them where they're at. And, you know, if they are in a happy mood and they aren't agitated, then those are the times that we, you know, we'll try to do programming with them. And programming is very individualized as well in a home class. We don't do, a ton of group programs. We base it all on, you know, the resident, and when they first come in, we come up with a reminiscing basket for each one of our residents, and that it has, you know, things that are familiar to them. Mm-hmm. So if they were a teacher, we might have chalk and a chalkboard, and, you know, those things that are familiar to them. And we do a lot of one-on-one programming in the moment, because as we know, attention span is short with someone with Alzheimer's or dementia, and we have to live in that moment and take every opportunity at that time that we have to have a successful and meaningful interaction with them.
I remember once we took my aunt. She had a case of dementia, and took her to a home. It was a nice little apartment, but it bothered her so much, she left and started walking home, which was from 85th or 84th and Warnell all the way down to the plaza. We found her. And she said, I just want to go home. So you don't know where they are, and you have to have the professionals help you. You know, as you mentioned, where you've got people living in the home, that you know how often they did whatever they did, how they slept overnight. So you're going to let them sleep You know what I'm saying? You're what am I trying to say? You're customizing this to the person. You're not customizing correct. The person to the environment.
That is correct. It is resident-centered care. So, you know, the other thing that's great for us is we have, you know, the benefits of home, all the benefits of home. So we have, all of our homes have beautiful outdoor space. We have huge, you know, really nice, large, spacious decks. Our newest home has its own walking trail. So it's, you know, again, the newest home is going to, was renovated with mobility in mind, maximum mobility in mind. So we want our residents to be able to stay active, and the new home will have, you know, a higher functioning resident, so early stages of dementia versus, you know, middle or end stage of dementia. And then one of our other homes has our higher acuity residents, which is, you know, mid to end stage dementia, where they need more help, and there's two caregivers there all the time. And, you know, so we're able to base our care on the resident. So if someone becomes, you know, a heavier care and we need to adjust that a little bit, we have the luxury of adding a staff member and doing that, versus at a corporate level, you know, they work off of what's called a census basis or a PPD basis, and you have to have so many residents in order to add a staff member. So that makes it difficult at times, but we have the luxury of doing that so that it can be based on the resident and their needs and safety.
Okay.
As well.
Michelle Girard, where can people find out more about Comfort Care? Tell me.
So you can find about Comfort Care on the web. We're at comfortcarehomeskc.com. And then also on Facebook, comfortcarehomeskc.com. And really, those are, you know, besides myself out spreading the word, any opportunity that I get, if anybody wanted to do some research, that those two places would be the best place to find it.
Perfect. And we're talking about National Assisted Living Week, and Michelle Girard joining us, telling us about Comfort Care. Thank you so very, very much, and good luck. All right. Well, we've run out of time. That is it for us this week, and thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I'm Kathy Quinn. You can normally see me on Fox 4's morning show. If you want to drop me a line, if there's something you want to hear about, you want me to do an interview, it's Kathy with the K, @fox4kc.com. And the people who make this radio show possible are the following, because we couldn't do it without them. Katie Connors, our executive producer. We have Andrina Byrne, our associate producer. We have Ed Walker, who gets us on the air every single weekend. And Doug Medlock, he is the voice, that big, deep voice. And also the Elders, they allow us to use their music for our bumper music. You want to check them out? It's eldersmusic.com, eldersmusic.com. And actually, I'm going to close the show out with Sing That Song by Kian Byrne, who is the drummer and multi-instrumentalist for the Elders. See ya!
Hey, they're playing our song. I haven't heard it for way too long. Remember all the words. Meet me at the chorus. You can take a verse. Sing that song that we sing together. Sing that song. Sing that song that we sing together. Sing that song. Right here by your side, I can take you for a ride. We can leave now, there's no use turning back. Look where you're at, think of what you have. Sing that song that we sing together. together sing that song. Sing that song that we sing together. Sing that song.